Welcome to this week's podcast from the teaching team at Beacon Church. For more information about our church, please visit beaconchurch.com.au. We hope you enjoy the message.
How good is our Lord? You know, we used to run this young adults connect group back in the day when as in our first married, I think it was in our first year of marriage, we lived in this teeny tiny apartment. We'd cram all these people in and Az would cook for them all every week. And there was this one guy who's quite the character and he was a bachelor, you know, so who knows what he ate during the week. And he'd come for Az's food every Tuesday night or whatever it was. And we'd sit down at the table and there'd be this food before him and he'd always say without fail, he'd look at it all and he'd go, "How good is the Lord?" And that just rung to mind this morning because honestly, how good is the Lord? How good is the Lord? You know, sometimes I think we've just got to remind ourselves how good He is. He's been good to me. He's been good to you. And sometimes you've got to search a little deeper. Sometimes on the surface we can think that we're hard done by or that He hasn't been good to us or that life's been tough. But you know what? I had a pastor years ago that used to always say, he'd word it so beautifully. He'd say, just look for the fingerprints of God upon your life. He is. He's for you, not against you. And if you look for those fingerprints, you'll find them. You'll find them. You'll see the goodness of God. His hand just upon your life. In the tough times and the good times, He's always there. And He's working all things together for good for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. Yeah, come on. He deserves our praise this morning. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our praise. What a beautiful song. Actually, so many things were coming to mind. When we sing, "I can't believe how good the Lord is." There's this other song that talks about, "I can't believe." And Az would always go, "Well, I can't sing that because I can believe the Lord is good." I was thinking of Az in my head going, "I can't sing that because I can believe how good the Lord is." But anyway, enough of that. You can take a seat this morning so I can get into the word. My name is Beck. And alongside my husband, Az, we're the pastor of this church, and we want to welcome you, particularly if it's your first time here. Maybe you've come along with family or friends. We just want you to know you're so welcome here. And an extra special welcome to my mum, who's here this morning. And she's come the furthest, because she's actually flown up from the Southern Highlands, which is south of Sydney, right, to be here. So unless you've come further than that, I think we should honour her for making that trek to be here. And I already said a lot of this in the eight, but just so all of you can hear it as well, I just want to honour her because I would not be who I am and I would definitely not be standing here today if not for my mom and if not for her belief in me and for she actually planted me in the house of God when I was about 4 or 5. And I've never been the same since. It was in the house of God. It was in my little local church in Sydney where I fell in love with Jesus and I fell in love with the church, the people of God. And so had my mum not accepted an invitation from another school mum to bring us along to Sunday school, I truly wouldn't be here. And mum's always been front row cheering me on like she is today and always supported me in everything I've ever done. So, yes, I said in the eight that if there's any fruit from my life, it's her fruit too, because everything she's invested into me is what I pour out. So on to my message. Just wanted to take a moment to do that. But my message this morning is actually super simple. It's really simple. I just want to bring a message in particular to the women because it is Mother's Day after all. And I simply want you to know this morning just one thing. I simply want you to know that you matter to God. Amen. We can go out and eat now. We're done. That's it. That's all I got. But the truth is, if we actually believed that, if every single one of us in this room actually believed that we mattered to God, then maybe, yeah, we could pack up and go out and eat now. But I actually have a feeling that not everyone in this room truly believes that. And so I want to bring a message about that this morning. And I just want to start by sharing a story about a moment in my life or a period in my life when I was in my early 20s. And it was a time in my life where I was really learning to listen to the voice of God and obey Him and the things He was asking of me. And if you're anything like me, God tends to speak in like a whisper, what feels like a whisper, just little nudges, until you don't listen and you don't obey. And then He has to get a bit louder and a bit more frequent. And when you're still not doing what he's asked of you, it kind of gets a bit louder. Like it almost feels like he's shouting at you, like, what are you doing? Get up, get moving. You have not, I've been asking you this for a while. It almost feels like a bit of a shout, like, come on. And there was a period in my life where I was loving the word of God. I was reading it and it was just coming alive to me. And I was having all these revelations and thoughts about it. And one day I just felt this prompting from God that, hey, I want you to share those thoughts that you're having with the women in your life. And I don't think I listened straight away because I was daunted by that. But eventually I obeyed and I started just sending out this weekly email with the things God was teaching me. And honestly, I think if I was to look at those emails today, I'd probably cringe at some of the stuff that I was writing. Probably like in 10 years' time, I'll probably cringe at some of the messages I'm preaching at the moment. But I was just taking what God was teaching me and sharing it with the women around me. That's what I felt he was asking me to do. Just take what I'm teaching you, Beck, and share it with those in your world. So I did that. And I did that really regularly for quite a long time. And then I sensed him nudge me again to say, okay, now I want you to actually gather those women. I want you to gather those young women every month and, you know, expand the ministry. And I ignored that for a long time because I was daunted by that. I'm thinking, who, me? No, I don't want to have to do that. But he didn't let up on me until I started doing it. And so I started doing it once a month. We would meet on a Saturday morning, meet at someone's house and you know, open the Bible and pray with one another. And, you know, it did grow because God's hand was on it. It was his idea and his hand was on it, and I was just being obedient to what he'd asked of me. So it did grow. And the reason I share this with you is because I wanted to share with you the name that I actually gave that ministry, because it was God's ministry. And so I said to him, well, okay, God, what do you want me to call it? This was your idea, not mine. So what do you want to call this group? What's its name going to be? What's its purpose going to be? And he did answer me. He gave me the name, and the name very much was the group's purpose too. And he gave me the name by taking me on a bit of a journey through the early books of, early chapters of Genesis. And so this morning, I just want to take you, I guess, on that journey with me. And we're just going to do a quick recap of Genesis chapter 1. Now, many of you know it. It's the story of the creation of the world. Many of you have probably read it a bunch of times, heard it a bunch of times. So we're going to go through it super quick. I'm going to read verse 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 5, actually. But we're going to read that first bit, and then I'm going to kind of paraphrase the rest, because you'll start to see the pattern that develops in Genesis. So Genesis 1 says this. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And so it goes on and on in that similar pattern. As I said, I'm going to paraphrase it, go through it super quick. We get the next bit where it talks about God making the sky, and it says there was evening and there was morning the second day. And then it goes on and says that God created the land and the seas, and he saw that it was good. And he said, let the land produce vegetation. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning the third day. It goes on. God made the sun, the moon, the stars, right? He's speaking and it's happening. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, there was morning the fourth day. And then God said, let the water teem with living creatures and let birds fly above. And it was so. And God saw that it was good. And he blessed them and said, be fruitful, increase in number. And there was evening, there was morning, the fifth day. You're getting the pattern of it now? And then we get to day 6 and it says, now God said, let the land produce living creatures. And it was so. God saw that it was good. And then God says, let us make mankind in our image. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Pretty amazing to realize that we're the only part of creation that are made in the image of God. Hey. And it says, God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. God saw all that he had made, and it was no longer just good. This time he says it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning the sixth day. So that's chapter 1. And then we get into chapter 2. And I guess if chapter 1's like the overview of what happens in those 6 days of creation and then the day of rest, then chapter 2 goes into a little more detail. It's like it zooms in on the creation of mankind. And so this is what it says. We're just going to read a few verses from chapter 2. It says, "Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. The Lord God said, 'It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him.' Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals and all the birds in the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them, and whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, and the wild animals. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep, and while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and then closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. And the man said, 'This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man.'" And it was while I was reading these scriptures that I felt God just give me the name for the ministry, because I felt he highlighted something to me that I'd probably just like glossed over every other time that I'd read it. See, what I think kind of is happening here, and this is in my language, I feel like God was creating the whole world, right? He was creating everything in it. He's creating the light and the sky and the stars and the land and the animals and the seas and the creatures in the sea and the birds of the sky. He's making all of that, creating all of that. And then he makes mankind in his image, which is amazing. So he creates everything. He even creates men, right? We get to the point where he's even created men. But then we read in chapter 2 that it's kind of like he pauses. It's kind of like he stops and he looks around and he looks at everything, right? It's magnificent what he's created. It's good. He's looking around at it all. But it's like he's thinking, there's something not quite right. There's just something not complete about it. There's something, it's like it's not finished. It's not complete. Feels like there's something missing. Or more specifically, someone missing. And he looks around at creation and thinks, there's a missing piece. Woman. Woman was the missing piece. Now, men, before you get all angry at me, before you get all upset, okay? You're obviously a piece of the puzzle too, and a very important piece, but today's not about you, right? So take your complaints to somebody else. We'll talk about you on Father's Day, right? Father's Day will be your moment. So back to the women, right? So I'm picturing this. I'm picturing this moment in creation where he's created it all, but he's like, there's something missing. It's not good for man to be alone. He needs a helper. There's something missing. Nothing that I've currently created, none of the animals, nothing is going to be able to fill that gap. No one's else is that size piece for creation. And so that's what I called the group, Missing Piece. And the goal of the group was simply for young women to know their value, to know that they were loved by the creator of the world, that they were actually created by the creator of the world for a purpose. I wanted them to know that, you know, thousands and thousands of years ago when the earth was just taking shape, that God already had a plan and a purpose for his daughters. That he created the entire world, that he looked around at everything he'd created, all the animals, all the sea creatures, all the vegetation, everything, even looked upon men and decided it's not complete yet. It's not complete. There's something missing. He thought, you know, man can't do this on his own. He needs a helper. And so he created women. And then he looked at all he had created, right? Everything that he'd created, the finished, complete product, and he said, it's very good. Not just good anymore, it's very good. And that's simply what I want you to hear today. In particular, the women in the room, that's simply what I want you to hear, is that you matter. You matter. And that you're loved. And that you were created on purpose for a purpose. That you weren't an accident. That God was intentional about placing you on earth. And there's a beautiful passage in Jeremiah chapter 1 that says, "Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, 'Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you.'" And I believe God would say the very same thing to you and I. that before you were formed in the womb, he knew you. That in the beginning, while the earth was still formless and empty, he knew you. While he's looking around at his creation, there's day one, two, day three, four, five. He's thinking it's good, but it's not very good yet because something's missing. He knew you were missing. He knew we were missing. And ladies, I want you to hear this morning. I think some of you need to hear this morning, that he created men, but he didn't stop there. Right? He knew an important piece of the puzzle was still missing. And here's the thing. I wish we didn't have to bring messages like this. I actually wish that we never had to preach a message like this because, you know, in this church, we highly value women. I hope you feel that. I hope you feel that when you walk through the doors of this church, that we highly value women in this place. But the reality is that that's not how it is everywhere, right? We know that there's, you know, parts of the world, there's governments and religions that actually consider women absolutely worthless. And not even just overseas. There are places in Australia. There are situations in Australia. There are workplaces. There are even households in Australia where women are not valued, where they're not considered to have any worth. And so I just want to speak to any of you this morning that have ever been made to feel that you're worthless. If you've ever been told that you're worthless or you're useless, if you've ever been made to feel that way, I'm here today to tell you that your Heavenly Father doesn't believe that. No, because your Heavenly Father created you. Before you were in the womb, he knew you. And he created you on purpose. The book of Psalms actually tells us that he knit us together in our mother's womb. He knows you. And he doesn't just know you. He didn't just create you, but he actually loves you. He still loves you. And he created the whole world. Think about this. He created the whole world, but he knew it wasn't complete without us. He knew it wasn't complete without you. So I'll say that again. If you've ever been made to feel like you have no value, it's not true. It's a lie of the enemy. Your Heavenly Father loves you. Maybe there's others of you in the room today and that you realize that actually it's not so much that you've been made to feel like that, but you've been made to feel like you need to be more like a man to accomplish your purpose or your goals. Maybe you've felt like you need to be more like a man to get noticed or to get opportunity or to be considered strong and capable. Maybe to be taken seriously, you've felt like you need to be more like the man. But you know what? If we try to be like the men, guess what? They're suddenly the missing piece again. Because God created the earth for men and women. He created a purpose for men and a purpose for women. And if we as women just try to be like the men, we're back to the same old problem. There's still a missing piece in creation. The world cannot function at its best if women are not a part of it or if we're trying to be like the men. The world will be limping, and quite frankly, it is limping right now, and maybe this is one of the reasons. So who in the room are puzzle lovers? Have I got any with me? No, I really thought more people were into puzzles, but maybe it's a dying art or something. But anyway, COVID lockdowns do weird things to people, right? Anybody else find themselves doing things that they'd never done before during COVID lockdown? Well, that happened to us in our household, where one day I came out, and on the dining room table was this massive puzzle. And I'm watching my husband do a puzzle. And I've never in my life seen my husband do a puzzle before. So I was like, what is going on? He reckons he'll never do one again either. That was a one-time thing. That was a lockdown only special. But anyway, he was doing this big puzzle on the dining table. And for those that do puzzles, and I mean, we've all done one sometime in our life. We've all done a puzzle sometime in our life. And how frustrating. Like, is there anything worse than spending hours, days, weeks, sometimes months on a puzzle? And you've invested into it. You've put so much time and effort and energy and love into this thing. And then you get to the end and there's a piece missing. It's the worst. It's so frustrating. And it kind of makes you feel like, why'd I bother? Shouldn't have bothered because it's just this, you know, it's not a complete picture. It's no longer beautiful. Everyone's just going to look at it and notice the missing one. They don't see anything else. They just see that missing piece right in the middle. It's the worst. And see, it's only a tiny piece, right? When you're doing that puzzle, like You've got every other piece, sometimes thousands of other pieces. It's just this tiny little piece. But in that moment, it makes a huge difference. It ruins the whole thing because it's not complete. And I believe that's how it is with our world too. I believe that women, you're an important piece of creation. Men, you're an important piece of creation. And without both genders and without each and every one of us, the puzzle isn't complete. It's missing a vital piece. And, you know, there's a similar story or a similar concept found in the Bible in 1 Corinthians. It doesn't talk about us as a puzzle, but it talks about us as the body of Christ. It talks about us, the people of God, as a body, all with different gifts and functions. And I'm going to read some of it this morning. It says this in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. It says, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all of its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? And if the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honourable, we treat with special honour. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And I just think this is a great reminder, this passage, that each one of us is unique. We're unique, and we've been created uniquely by our Heavenly Father, and we've been entrusted with unique gifts. And I think sometimes we can be tempted to think that we don't have much to offer. I think, you know, we can think, well, maybe I've got something to offer, but definitely not as much to offer as her or her. Sometimes, you know, maybe even today, you're just sitting here thinking, but I'm just a mum, or I'm just a single mum, or I'm just a single woman, or I'm just a woman, I'm just a girl. But I want to quickly highlight a couple of things in this passage that just jumped out at me and that just excited me when I read this. Did you notice in verse 18, it says that God has placed the parts in the body just as he wanted them to be? I love that part. I don't want you to miss that. It says, but in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. So that includes you. You've been placed in creation exactly where and when he wants you to be, and you've been given the gifts that he wants you to have. You've been given the purpose that he wants you to have. And I also love verse 22, because it says that the parts of the body that seem to be weaker. Did you notice that? It didn't actually say those parts are weaker. It just says they seem to be weaker. But it says that those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Indispensable. What a word. That means that they are absolutely necessary. In fact, it doesn't just mean they're necessary. It means they're essential. They're actually essential. So if you're tempted for one second to say, oh, but I seem weaker than the rest. Well, no, you're essential. You're essential for the body of Christ. And in fact, when I was looking into this passage, I actually was looking at like some of the original writing of it, the original Greek words, because sometimes the English just doesn't give us a good enough illustration of really what's trying to be said here. And so I was looking at the word that was used actually when Paul says, on the contrary, right? So he says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. So that'd be the equivalent of like maybe the men saying to the women, we don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. The women saying to the men, we don't need you. Whatever it is. Or different gifts, saying, we don't need your gift. We don't need your gift. And then it says, on the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. So you can just read on the contrary and just think it sounds kind of like soft and polite, you know, like, oh, on the contrary. But as I was reading it, I was discovering that the word they used in the Greek actually had some force to it. Like the writer was trying to say with force, no. Right? And we read it as just, on the contrary, no. Paul's saying, no, it's not like that. Don't you dare believe that it's not like that. No. And then it actually says that what the word he was using was actually trying to say, no, it's not like that. It's actually much, 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 much more like this. Right? Not just on the contrary, saying, no, it's not like that at all. It's much, much, much the case that those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are absolutely essential. And someone needs to hear that this morning. So when you're tempted, because you will, we all will, be tempted at times to say, I'm not needed. I'm not needed. I've got nothing to contribute. I've got nothing to offer. I'm just weak compared to everybody else. I've got no gifts compared to everybody else. Well, no, they're lies. Because God says, I've placed you exactly where I want you. And I've placed within you the gifts that I want you to have. I've given you the gifts that I want you to have for my body, for my people, for my church, for my creation to operate at full capacity and full purpose. I need every single one of you operating in the gifts that have been entrusted to you. So you matter to God. You matter to God. And you're loved by Him. In fact, there's a beautiful passage. Most of you will know it. Famous passage, John 3:16. I'm sure you know it. Which says, for God so loved the world. That's you. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever, that includes you, whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. Have you ever thought about the fact that Jesus doesn't want you missing from heaven? God does not want heaven without you there. He wants you there. It's not just about He doesn't want you missing here on earth. He doesn't want you missing from heaven. He wants you to spend eternal life with Him. That's why He came. You know, at the beginning of the message, I talked about Genesis, right? The Garden of Eden, that's when it was all perfect. But then we stuffed up, right? Mankind came, decided we can do a better job than Him. And we bring sin into the world and we stuff it up, basically. And there's this separation with God, but God says, no, they're my creation. I love them. I want to spend eternity with them. I want to be connected to them. I want to be in relationship with them. So He sends His Son Jesus to die on a cross, taking our sin and our shame and offering us forgiveness. He rose from the dead to conquer sin and death so that we can spend eternity in heaven where we belong with our Heavenly Father. Don't miss out on that. Don't be missing from that party that's going to be going on in heaven. And maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're saying, but you don't know me. You don't know my story. You don't know how far I feel from God. You don't know how messed up I am, how many mistakes I've made. I think I'm too far gone. But you're not. Nobody's ever too far gone. It's a beautiful passage in the Gospels, in the book of Luke, where Jesus is sitting and eating with tax collectors and sinners. And the Pharisees and the teachers of the law come along and they mutter, you know, they're like, can't believe He's sitting with these people, with these sinners. And then Jesus tells this parable. He tells this beautiful story of a shepherd who has 100 sheep. And he loses one. One goes lost. And it says this, because maybe you feel like you're that one this morning. It says, doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? If you feel like you're the one, he's going after you. In fact, I believe the reason you're here this morning is no coincidence. It's part of his plan to find you, for you to be found by him. He loves you. You matter to him. You're precious to him. You are his prized possession. You are his treasure. It goes on in this passage to say that when he finds that sheep, that one that he's left the 99 to go after, when he finds that sheep, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home, carries that sheep home to where it belongs. And then he calls his friends and his neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I've found my lost sheep." And Jesus says, "I tell you, in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent." So if that's you this morning, if you're feeling like that lost sheep, he's come to find you. I believe it. Even this morning, he's come to find you. And he's ready to pick you up and put you on his shoulders and carry you home. And when you get there, there will be an eruption of cheers. There will be an eruption of cheers of God's people and the angels in heaven rejoicing that you've found your way home. He'll come after you. If you feel like you're that one, you're never too far from God. If you hear nothing else this morning, I just want you to hear that the world wouldn't be complete without you. There'd be a missing piece. The world wouldn't be complete without you, and God's family isn't complete without you. You're the missing piece. And I'm going to pray this morning. I'm going to pray for everyone, but in particular the women in the room. I'm just going to pray that you will always know how loved you are by God. That when the lies of the enemy come, or that inner critic comes and tries to tell you that you're not good enough, that you've got nothing to offer, that you're not worthy, that will be replaced with the truth of God's word that says you matter. That says he knew you before the foundations of the earth. Before you were in your mother's womb, he knew you. And he knit you together in your mother's womb. And that he loves you. And that he values you. But before I do that, before I pray for everyone, I just want to ask everyone to bow their heads and close their eyes, because for some of you, maybe this is the first time you're hearing this message, or maybe it's the first time in a long time. And you realize that when I'm talking about that story of the sheep, when Jesus is talking about leaving the 99 to go after the one, you know that maybe right now you're the one, that you're far from him, that you're not living life close to him, following him. And at this church, we always want to give people an opportunity to come home to Jesus. We always want to give people an opportunity to say, "I want to follow you, Jesus. I want to be found by you, Jesus. I want to come back home." So this morning, before I pray, I just want to know who I'm praying for. So if you're sitting and you're thinking, "Yeah, I want you to pray for me because I want to come home to Jesus. I want to follow him. I want to spend eternity in heaven with him. I don't want to miss out." I just ask that you just raise your hand so I can pray for you. If you're sitting in this room and you think, "Yeah, that's me," just a little wave to tell me, "Hey, include me in that prayer." Father God, we thank you. Lord, that you will leave the 99 to go after the one time and time and time and time again. Lord, I thank you that no one is too far from you. And so, Lord, right now, there's people in the room that want to say yes to Jesus. Lord, I just pray that right now they'll receive a touch from heaven. Lord, that they will feel your presence, that they will know that you're with them. And, Lord, you will go before them, be beside them and behind them, and that, Lord, you will be with them all the days of their life. Lord, that they will follow you all the days of their life. Lord, I pray that they'll experience your love, the embrace of the Father as he welcomes them home. And Lord, I want to lift up every single woman in this place, Lord. Lord, would you bless them today and every day? Lord, would they experience your goodness afresh? Father, would you pour out your love on them? Would you pour out your embrace? For those that just feel like they need to be hugged by you, Lord, would you hug them? Would they feel your embrace? Would they feel your love? Would they feel your peace? And Father, I just pray that every person in this room, man or woman, will experience your love, will know that they matter. Lord, that when the lies of the enemy come and try to tell them they're not good enough, Lord, that it'll be replaced with your voice and your word. That your word will be louder in their ears, reminding them that before the foundation of the world, they knew you knew them, Lord. And you knit them together in their mother's womb and you loved them. You sent your son to die on a cross just for them. Lord, remind each and every one of us that we are precious to you, that we are treasured by you, that we matter to you, Lord. I pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Well, before we wrap up this morning, we are going to hand out a little gift. And it's just something that I wanted to gift to you, all the women. Sorry, I should say this for all the women. I just wanted to gift to you something that would hopefully remind you every day that you matter to God. As I said, that's all I want you to walk away with this morning, is to remember that you matter to God, that you're loved, that He loves you dearly. And so I pray that every day as you pick up your key ring, wherever you choose to put this, that it will be a reminder to you, yeah, I'm the missing piece. I'm the missing piece and I matter to Him. I matter to Him. He loves me and He has a purpose for me. He has a plan and a purpose for me. I just pray it'll be a beautiful reminder for you. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. We pray the message has inspired you. To connect with us further, visit beaconchurch.com.au.